Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
I'm Tom Cliff, creator of the world-famous online stand-up bingo, which started out its life at Northampton Town Football Club. Join me every Saturday at 2:15pm on the Cafe Track Facebook page for your chance to be crowned stand-up bingo champion of the world. Every ticket purchase goes towards keeping Cafe Track and Track NN a social enterprise dedicated to helping people to access work experience and hopefully employment. Buy your ticket now at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Make sure you leave your chosen 15 numbers between 1 and 90 in the comment section and then play along live on the Saturday afternoons before the Cobblers game. So go to buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack now and get your ticket for the world famous stand-up bingo.
Rain again. And he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3!
Yeah! Get it!
Well, not much has happened this week, has it? Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. My name's Charles. Thank you very much for pressing play. I'm joined this evening by my rather dashing-looking co-host. I think you will all agree... definitely the favourite chicken owner that you've ever known in your life. It's Mr. Danny Brothers. How you doing, Danny?
Oh, what an introduction that was.
I'm feeling happy, mate.
It's been a bit of a mental week, hasn't it? Just
a little bit.
Just like, oh, it's just one of those where we just don't know where to start, isn't it? Like, we actually won a game and it just feels like completely... like the lowest thing that's happened, like the most meaningless thing that's happened until all this... other stuff got sorted out today.
I was starting to watch the game. I was fuming because literally what I turned iFollow on with what, maybe 10 minutes before kickoff, just to make sure it was all set up and ready. And the first thing that happens is that I see a tweet from obviously Cobblers fan and BBC head sports guy, Dan Rowan, saying Chelsea are withdrawing from the Super League. And I went, oh, that's good timing, just before we're about to kick off. But, you know, at the same time, they were playing a game, weren't they? Chelsea last night against Brighton. And there were lots and lots of fans going on and chanting outside Stamford Bridge. Lots of lots of young football fans who apparently don't exist anymore. which I thought
ones who don't care about football, apparently.
Yeah. Don't give a crap about football. They're simply there for, you know, shits and giggles, I presume. I've no idea. And then the game kicks off and, you know, we're playing quite well, aren't we? And all this, that and the other. And the dominoes started to fall. I was like going, do you not realise that I'm trying to watch a game of football? It's ridiculous. I just thought, I liked Gary Neville on Sunday. Today, or last night, not so much.
Yeah, because I'd done my Tuesday thing of sometimes I have to pause at half time and catch up later. So I had to like be completely blank of anything else that was going on.
That's his Tuesday thing.
I knew about the Chelsea thing and there was murmurings about Man City, I think, at that point. But and you kind of thought as soon as one of them goes, they're all going to go, thankfully. You know, what an absolute shambles it would have been for it to actually go ahead. So I kind of had an inkling it was going to happen. But then I was trying to, as I was keeping up with our game and the other scores and stuff, like watching it back, I couldn't go on any BBC websites and stuff because I'd obviously find out our result.
Yeah.
Not before I'd finished watching it kind of thing. So I had to finish our game and then they started talking about it a little bit on Radio Northampton. So that got distracted and it always felt like, well, you actually remember that we'd actually just played a game and won a game, which was probably the most crazy thing to happen this week. We'd scored three goals.
It's so Northampton. It really is. It like, you know, it's like, I tell you what we're going to do, lads, is we're going to wait until the biggest footballing news story breaks in the whole world since basically football was suspended last March. And we're then going to, you know, put in a performance and get a result that you're going to want to talk about for days on end, only to be, you know, overshadowed.
I was getting ready for like a whole preview show based around PT. A little PT Kyoso. What a man. Straight back in there.
Absolutely.
Luck has not been away. Popping up, Watson-esque.
Just before we pressed record on the pod, I was chatting away to our guest, who is Matt from Jill's in the Blood, which is the Gillingham YouTube channel, which is cracking, by the way. And I was having a quick chat with him before, and he said, because Gillingham had a cracking result on Tuesday night as well as us, and I said to him, you know, must have been really good. And his first thing was to sort of say, yeah, I know, but it's the hope that kills you, innit? And I thought to myself, that's exactly what we're like. And I'd actually thought of earlier on in the day when I was planning the podcast, because, you know, a little bit of effort goes into it. I thought, oh, how shall I start the podcast this week? And I genuinely thought of singing a song after the exploits of Neil's Spice Girls rendition from last week's pod. I thought, maybe I start off with singing, you give me hope, Keo, so give me hope, Keo. And then I thought, no, I won't do that.
I'll do it again.
You give me hope, Keo, so give me hope. Do you know what? That'd be rocking in the North Stand if we were actually allowed there.
Well, we're talking about bands and performers, weren't we, the other day?
We were. Get me in.
Get you on. Get me along. That'll get me right. That'll be good for local businesses because they'll get right back up there to the tavern and everyone will just stream back. But
what the fuck's this? I'm going back to the. Oh, absolutely. But yeah. I know that you had to watch the second half on delay, Danny, but let's just. What a performance.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Where did that come from?
I think a little bit came from. I don't want to play it down too much, but Ipswich were terrible. In terms of, like, you can tell they're in the middle of some sort of transition with Paul Cook in charge. They can't score a goal, but you just think whenever a team comes to us like that, having not scored a goal in about 20 years, they always score about six. So that's the first thing that you think is going to go through your head. But then, yeah, I think they were trying to pass it out from the back and they just didn't look like they had the players to do that. It looked a little bit like us under Jimmy when he was trying to ask us to do all these different things and we just didn't know how to. So that'll obviously take time for him and he'll probably come back. He'll have a summer and, you know, get him going again and they'll be one of the forces next year. But we can't take away from what we did. We played to our strengths. We played on the front foot pretty well. A couple of set piece goals again. And then Ryan Watson from about 70 yards. So I know. Happy days.
Is that going to be like Sean Parrish's goal against Cardiff City in 97 or whatever it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it just gets a further away every single time you talk about it.
Yeah, it's going to be talking about it in the next 20 years.
Love it. Absolutely. Sorry, Sean, mate, if you're listening. You've been usurped. okay, right. Let's get straight into our preview, shall we? So let me welcome, I've already name-checked him. It's Matt from Jill's in the Blood TV. How you doing, Matt? You okay?
Very well, thank you, gents. Appreciate the invite on. So, yeah, been listening interestedly in the background. There will be no singing from myself, I can't guarantee that, Spice Girls or otherwise.
I'm sure we'll get you doing some sort of Verdane Oliver song for us.
Oh, I didn't want to bring him up straight away, but
no hard feelings there at all, believe me.
Not on my part, no.
Well, look, first of all, congratulations on your win on Tuesday night.
Thank you very much.
I will, very rarely do I actually congratulate another team on a victory. But you did what we couldn't, which is beat the scum. So thank you very much.
That's not a problem.
obviously, for you guys, I mean, this is me speaking as an outsider to Gillingham, obviously. Mm-hmm. You've had a cracking season.
Yeah, it's been very good, I think, considering all the extenuating circumstances that every club up and down the land's had to deal with. I mean, it's not fun for all of us. We're all having to watch on a screen, on a laptop, on a TV. I mean, I sit at my dining room table doing my match day videos at the moment, which is far from ideal. But, yeah, in terms of the form since certainly the January transfer window, we've been really, really good. We was very inconsistent first half of the campaign. We was a little bit brittle, a little bit naive. A few of the lone stars signings, you could tell, were very young and very early in terms of their footballing education. And that's not to say that they're not going to go on and be good footballers, but I think the turnaround in January was very beneficial, and we got people in that were probably a little bit more experienced, a little bit further along in that education and a little bit more streetwise. And the form since then has been really, really good. There's been the odd blip along the way, Wimbledon away, Fleetwood away, Rochdale at home, that type of thing. But on the whole, can't really complain. We've been going to the big boys and competing. I was looking at the table earlier today, and I think of the current top six, we've taken 11 points off of them on the road this season. All right, we've only taken four of the same six sides at home, but that's not the point. but yeah, generally, it's been really good. I mean, we get criticised for playing a certain way, but is there a right and wrong way to play football? Surely there's a right way if you're winning football matches and picking up points, regardless of whether you've made two or three passes before it goes in the opposition net, or you've made 102 or 103 passes. But no, I can't complain too much, and we're still in there kicking and screaming in terms of the playoffs. I think it's pretty much impossible now. We've got to be perfect over the last three games and then wait on another lot of results going our way. But no, certainly no complaints from me. If someone had said with three games to go, you'd be ninth and still have a very small chance of the playoffs at the start of the season, I'd have probably bitten their arm off.
Can we just take one moment just to rewind a little bit and go back to what you were saying about there's not necessarily a right way to play football. The right way is to win games. I just want to do one thing. Danny, you might want to join me with this.
Mm-hmm. You know what? As soon as you said that, I was like, I think we had exactly the same conversation last year under Keith Cole, and well, since he was appointed. And the similar thing in both of them is Verdane Oliver. And he like pretty much embodies what that kind of thing is that way. And like, like you need, like his loss to us has been so big that, you know, if like we wouldn't have thought it before, but like before we signed, we came from Morecambe and we thought, oh, he's not scored any goals much. He's what, who is this like journeyman bloke? And he transformed himself from like the start of last season to the end. And we were having the, like I said, similar conversations because he's the target man. He's the one that makes everything tick up front and holds it up and actually just puts in so much effort up front that makes that way of playing okay and gets results. Like, there's nothing wrong with it at all. And, you know, what is his injury status at the minute? Because he was injured last night, wasn't he? A little bit.
He's due to be fully fit for Saturday. Oh,
of course he is, yeah.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Well, I think get him
just
out.
Having a rest, but he's a little Matt Hard getting himself ready for Saturday. So.
He was like that, wasn't he? He was going, all right, I'm going to get right ready for this. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Feet up and a cigar last night.
Yeah. He was like, Steve, here, lad, right. I'll tell you what. I'll have a night on the sofa, but on Saturday I'll be firing.
That's it. Right? Yeah. Let Big John have a go. It's only posh.
yeah, exactly. I love it. I was looking actually when you were talking about how well you know you've done in this season so far. I had a quick look at where you've been previous seasons to this. Now, obviously, last season's a bit of an anomaly because only 35 games were played.
Yep.
So we can't really compare as such, but last season, just to do it anyway, because I'm a knob, is you finished 10th on 51 points, but from 35 games played. So you're well past that already, both on games played and points. So 62 points now, 43 games played. But let's go back 2 years, 2018-19, where you actually now do see an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
You finished 13th on a full season, and you got 55 points.
Yep.
You are on the way. You know, you're on, as what Keith Curl would like to say, you're on a journey. You're on a crest of a wave, and you're going in the right direction.
Yep.
It's nice to sort of see. However, the one thing I will say is that it's nice to see it with the fact that there's so many supposed big teams in League One. Obviously, none of them are the Big Six. But, you know, there's a supposed... a lot bigger teams in this division.
Although Gills and Northampton have both won a trophy since Spurs last did, so technically we should have at least been 7th and 8th in line.
Yeah, I think you're right. We've run it. What have we won since Spurs last won anything? Probably about 4, I'd say.
Yeah, well, yeah, the
playoffs
team, yeah,
I mean, twice.
Yeah, you've won a couple of playoffs. We won a league title, so.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I'm looking at it and I'm just thinking, yeah, you're right, actually.
I know Gills have won a playoffs as well. Actually, Christ, Spurs are shit, aren't they? Yeah, Jules won the playoffs in 2009 as well. Yeah, so Jules have had two in that time. So blimey.
Oh, you see, I mean, that's just ridiculous, isn't it? But anyway, oh,
it was great fun, wasn't it? The Big Six, the Spurs join the league because they're part of the Big Six on the Sunday night, and then on the Monday they sack their manager because they're 7th in the league. Absolutely.
I love the bit on Sky Sports News. I don't know whether you saw it, but where the guy was at the wall. And he was showing you the teams that were in there, and he was going, you know, that's 5 of the biggest teams in England and Spurs.
Oh, they've been absolutely bad, like, haven't they? Bless it. Brilliant. I think it was Matt Lucas tweeted it yesterday and said that Spurs had bought out a DVD because they was in the European Super League for 8 minutes. And then my favourite one was the people all getting together to sort out the European Super League was like going out for a piss up with your mates, but forgetting to ask the wife whether you was allowed to go.
Yeah, that was a classic one. I enjoyed that one. Absolutely did. It was a belter. I mean, so let's just go back to Gills then for a second. What's changed? So Steve Evans has been in charge for
this is his
how
second
long now?
Season. This is his second season. He arrived in the summer of 2019 after Steve Lovell had been sacked.
So. 2 seasons in then, or a season and 3 quarters.
Yeah.
Let's go back to when he first signed and became your manager. Yes. What was your initial reaction to Steve Evans?
Didn't want him at all. You know, I mean, if you go from what you see in the papers and you read in the press and you read on social media, and I always call it his extracurricular activities when he was at Boston, because I don't like to get myself into trouble. You don't know who's listening to these types of things, such as the Big Time style of League One podcasting and YouTube channels. But it wasn't just because of that. I thought there was younger and better managers out there at the time. And the two names that stood out for me at the time were Darryl Clark and Paul Hurst. They'd both done really good jobs at Bristol Rovers and Shrewsbury, I think it was at the time. And I think Paul Hurst had just been let go by Ipswich. But I thought he knew that division. He knew League One. He knew how to get a team, you know, with limited budget out of the division, or at least into the playoffs, because Shrewsbury had that really good season, didn't they, about 3 or 4 years back? Finished third, I think. I think it was like the highest points tally that's not got you promoted automatically in the last 10 years or something. So, but then they didn't go and rip up any trees in League Two with Walsall and now Port Vale. I think it is Darryl Clark and Paul Hurst got sacked by Scunthorpe, now back at Grimsby. So, obviously, then you add on all the other stuff. But the biggest thing for me, I said, was, you know, he's done his crime. He served his time. He's going to be our manager. I'm not going to stop going. I'm not going to stop supporting the football club. And the bottom line is I want our football club to be better. I want to be sat here in March and April and thinking about the top half and the playoffs. I don't want to be sitting here thinking, Christ, how many wins do we need to get out of the relegation zone, or looking over our shoulder for 8 months of a 9-month campaign or whatever. And bottom line is Steve Evans has made us that better football club. He's made us a better football team. He's made us harder to beat. I get all the stuff that, that other fans get a bit fed up with in terms of he constantly talks about the lack of budget. He constantly talks about how much other teams are spending, but he's doing it for effect. He's doing it to get a reaction out of his own players. He's doing it to create a siege mentality. And we're ninth in the league. So I think it's working. And we've been to Hull and drawn. We've been to Portsmouth have drawn. We've been to Sunderland and drawn. Charlton and won. Peterborough and won. Lincoln and won this season. The results speak volumes. And the fact that we're still in contention for the top six speaks volumes about Steve Evans, the manager, not Steve Evans, the person, because everybody has an opinion on Steve Evans, the person. But I've met him twice since he's been at the club. He's done two Q&A sessions with the fans before COVID ended the world. And I found him perfectly affable. He likes to tell a story. He stands and chats. He's a nice person. Obviously, we're all slightly different when we're, you know, on the touchline. But I think it's been made worse this year because everybody can hear everything because there's no crowd noise. And but away commentary teams are just obsessed with it to the point where it's hilarious now as a Jules fan listening to it every week. And I just find it quite amusing.
Yeah, I think it is, because it's always interesting, because you're right, because we come from it from that side where we've seen it all in the press and the reputation precedes him. When, you know, obviously, I remember when, well, Dean Austin was sacked and Keith Curl came in, you know, we sat on the podcast, I think, and said, right, who don't we want? Rather than looking at who do we want, and straight away, Danny, I think we mentioned Steve. Yeah, Steve Evans was in there. Graham Wesley was in there.
Oh, Christ, yeah, he was linked to us. Jesus.
Keith Curl was in there.
Because it turned out that Curl was actually the best of a bad bunch, wasn't it? It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, compared to what else is out there, we probably had an easy what's it called, escape.
I mean, this is the thing, is that you kind of look at, and I think you do have to put aside the, well, use your words, Matt, the extracurricular activities, put that to one side and judge him on how he is and performs as manager of your football club.
Yeah.
And you can't turn around and say that he's been bad for Gillingham because, well, everything you've already said, ninth in League One, still able mathematically to make it into the playoffs just at this moment in time. I mean, obviously, that won't be the case on Saturday, but, you know, you can't have everything. but, I mean, hey, it's either that or we get relegated on Saturday, mate. So I'm being positive.
Well, I've got your away form in front of me, but we'll get on to that in a little while.
Don't do that. Put that in the bin.
Okay,
sorry. But, yeah, you can't dismiss the good job that he's done as a manager of your football club. And he surprised me, not because of, you know, any kind of thinking that I had about, you know, what he's done in the past off the pitch, but he surprised me and Gillingham have surprised me because at the start of the season, when I'm looking at the squad that he had, I'm thinking, that, you know, everybody's putting us down as being a long ball merchant side who haven't got a chance in hell. So I'm like that going, well, that's us and Gillingham going down then. Because you look at the squad on paper and it's essentially Steve Evans.
Yeah, which says to me then that people don't understand how Steve Evans plays until he's been manager of their football club. And Steve Evans said in the very first Q&A, he said, people hate me, I understand that, I get that, I've got no problem with that. He said, until I become manager of their football club. And then he said, the vast majority of the fans don't want me to leave. And yes, you know about all about Verdane Oliver's qualities. Obviously, you had him for a season. He was brilliant. He got you to the playoffs and he got you promoted. But we're a little bit more than just Verdane Oliver. We don't have the likes of Oliver Lee, or Carl Dempsey or Jordan Graham in the side and just be long ball. You can't with them types of players. But no, obviously, to emphasise what you've said again is the fact that Jules finished 13th, 18th and 20th, I think, the three seasons prior to Steve Evans coming in. And 16-17, we drew at your place, didn't we, on the last day and stayed up by the skin of our teeth.
Yeah.
That was the whole Adrian Pennock, Justin Edinburgh thing, wasn't it? God rest his soul, Justin. Yeah, so in 2 or 3 years since then, we're now in the top half comfortably and there's no question or even talk of a relegation battle. So in that sense, he's done everything that I wanted to do. He's won us more football matches and what football fan doesn't want their football club to win football matches, regardless of whether you play long ball, medium ball, short ball, tippy-tappy, tick-attacker, whatever you want to fucking call it, score more goals than the other team, then you're doing all right, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I want to kind of actually switch this round a bit now, because we've talked about Gillingham, we've talked about Steve Evans and that side of things. I want to know what your opinion is of us.
Mm-hmm.
And not just in terms of this season, but as a football club. Everybody always, you know, we always think, don't we? We go and say Man United are a big club, and it's because of the size of the stadium, because of their history and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You do the same no matter how far down the pyramid you go.
Yeah.
There are big clubs at each level. Where do we sit in your opinion?
Well, I don't think you're too dissimilar to us, to be quite honest. You're a well-run, from the outside looking in, you might shoot me down in flames. Like people say, I always harp it back to us. People, our fan base moan that we're not in the championship. Oh, we're not showing ambition. If us older fans say, well, we are where we are in the food chain for that particular reason. Gills have been in existence for 126 years. We've been in the championship for 5 seasons. Apart from that, we've been in League One and League Two. It's a very small percentage. Yet people still seem to think that we have this divine right to be in the championship. But Northampton are a very good lower league football club, I suppose is the best way to put it. And I hope that's taken the right way from you guys. Mm. Like us, you don't have a huge budget. You play a certain way. You play to your strengths. You realise probably that, like us, you don't have all the best players in the world, the most technically gifted that are available to League One or League Two. So you make the best of what you've got. You make sure that your teams work hard. And it keeps coming back to Verdane Oliver. Like I've said, you play to your strengths. And in League Two last season, you played to your strengths. It got you promoted. So as a Cobblers fan, who was moaning last year about how you played? Absolutely nobody.
Mm.
Same with us. If we sneak in the playoffs, only 1% of the Gills fans might be moaning, but they're probably moaning because they hate Steve Evans anyway. So we could be playing, you know, we could be playing like Prime Barcelona or Prime Bayern Munich or Pep's Man City, and they'd still moan until Steve Evans leaves. And that's fine. I've got no problem with that. Fans don't want to come and watch us and come to the stadium all the while Steve Evans is in charge. That's their choice. But they're missing out for me because it's been much improved. And I'm sure if you do go down, you regroup in the summer. I'm not sure what the situation with your manager is. Is he caretaker? Is he full-time now? Or
yeah, he's caretaker until the end of the season.
So he's got it till the end of the season.
Then we will find out. Yeah.
So I'd imagine if you go down, they probably look elsewhere. And if he keeps you up, he probably gets the job full-time. That tends to be how it works. Mm. Similar with the situation at Wigan. I see Liam Richardson's been appointed on a full-time basis today. And fair play to him. And I think I speak for a lot of football fans, apart from when they play our clubs, obviously, that says I'd love Wigan to stay up after what they've been through the last few years, and it looks like they're probably going to do it. But I'm sure next season, regardless of who you've got in charge, if you do go down or if you're in League One, you regroup, start again, look at what you need to do to improve, and then look at, you know, whatever the next step in terms of improvement is. And if you do stay up, obviously the next improvement would be, you know, sort of be mid-table and consolidate a bit better. But if you go down, I'd imagine you'll be, you know, you'd be one of the favourites to come back up again on the fact that you've come down from the division above and you know how to get out of this division recently as well.
I think it's interesting, Danny, I'll put this to you, that from the outside, obviously, you know, we are a big club in League Two. We're obviously not in League One, but that's where the yo-yo kind of happens, isn't it? Obviously, we know a little bit more than Matt does at the moment about, you know, finances and stuff like that. So I don't think it will be that easy to come back up next season. But it is interesting to hear from the outside sometimes. I think every football fan does this, regardless of who you support. You end up just in your bubble with your football club.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't sort of ever think about the fact that there's another opinion, potentially. It's nice to hear, isn't it, Danny, I think, sometimes?
Yeah. I think we heard them a little bit louder from the outside during the playoffs because, you know, especially from certain local journalists that don't cover Northampton but cover another blue team down the road.
Wankers.
Who, like, suddenly have comments about the way we're playing football. But, you know, in general, it is always interesting to chat to other specifically League One, League Two fans who the majority, especially in League Two, you kind of have so much in common with, because you just see your own club in a similar way, and you see their club in the same way that you see the others. And until you kind of start talking to your Sunderland and your Hull fans that we've had on, who are in a completely different mindset, then, you know, this is the whole thing about the stuff that's happened this week that you miss out on if this Super League goes through. The chatting to other Football League fans and being in the same boat as them, it's what makes football what it is. And
yeah,
it's you know, I went to the, I'm going to go on a rant now.
Go on.
Like, I went down to get my hair and beard shaved this week, and there's this new barbers down where we live, and he's got a massive, like, Jamie Curtin and Bristol Rovers shot on the wall. And usually I hate the barbers. Like, I hate going to the barber shop, but because I just hate all the, like, the forced small talk, and I can't do it. And I'm just like, oh yeah, sunny again today. Yeah. But like,
I just thought you were going to say that you sort of stand outside charted. Who the hell are you?
Yeah, 3-0, sort of, and you fucked it. But just that one shirt on the wall gets you talking, and sort of having something in common with someone, and you take that away from football and it kills it. And like, I don't even know what the point is I'm trying to make now. But it's that we would have lost if that had all gone through this week. That connection with other people, and you know, you can throw about banter all you want with opposition fans, but at the end of the day, if you get talking in the street or in wherever, in a shop or barbershop like I did, you have so much in common with people, and that's only a good thing for society, right? Rather than just anything.
Absolutely.
You asked me a question that I've completely ignored, as usual.
It's all right. It's absolutely fine. I going back to what I was saying, then, it was just the fact that it's nice to hear from the outside that the perspective is slightly more positive towards us than what I think.
Yeah, definitely.
When you're in it, give yourself.
Not towards us.
Yeah. But I think that is a partly down to the way we play, though, as well. You play, you know, like you say, Gillingham are playing, that you play in that thing, and then people just throw the old, you know, you're not playing in the right way, in quotation marks, like, all the time at you. And it's a really lazy thing when you've got players that graft and players who, you know, you've got defenders who put bodies on the line for you and stuff. You're like, people miss the point of it.
Yeah, I agree with you there completely and utterly. I want to go back to December the 29th, 2020.
Went on then.
It was a what would you call, maybe a,
sorry,
a
fellas, cold. My Wi-Fi's dropping out. I can't hear you.
It was a cold, balmy evening at Sixfield Stadium in Northampton, and there was a little 3-1 scoreline at the end of it. Obviously, that's probably, I would imagine, the one and only time that you've actually seen us for a few years playing,
yeah, that one. And obviously, like I say, the one a few years ago when I came to your place last day of the season and slumped crying like a baby at the back of the stand just because Port Vale couldn't score against Fleetwood. But it's just a game if you listen to the wife.
The vivid memory I've got about coming to Gillingham is that 4-3 a few years ago. Would have been like 2011, 12, something like that. When Berahino scored twice for us, but then you won it. I think, was it Joe Kufour scored a hat trick? But that was Berahino, and we just thought he was going to be the next big thing.
I remember the game at our place a couple of seasons ago under Steve Lovell, where we absolutely battered you, I think, and then you took the lead. I think it was the lad, where is he now? He's still in this division. Scored down at the Brian Moore stand and ran to your fans. And then our captain, Lee Martin, had been getting stick off your fans and equalised and had an absolute meltdown on the pitch. And then
Lee bloody half. Martin, yeah. He's another one, isn't he?
he's another one.
Every time he comes and plays us, he winds us up. Who did he get sent off? He got someone sent off, didn't he?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, don't like him. Wind up merchant. Anyway, yeah. The one thing that, so I've never been to the Priestfield, mainly because I like to keep warm and dry.
What are you talking about?
No, I think because basically it's just a bit too far for me to go to, even when I was living in Northampton. But the one thing that there's always connections, but there are connections between every club in the country, whether it's because you've got a player that has played for both clubs or whether it's because of a game that was played, you know, a big game or a big scoreline or whatever it would have been. For us, I always think Cobblers and Gillingham, the big thing for me that I think a lot of fans will kind of immediately be drawn to is the fact that Bayerak and Fenwer decided that he wanted to have a year's break from Sixfields.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah. Effectively on a loan, didn't he, for a year?
Yeah.
A permanent loan for not long.
Yeah, exactly. A permanent loan and then come back. That'll do. Back you come. But there was him and there was also, Danny, you're going to have to correct me on the name here. Was it, I'm thinking a left back. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Danny Chapman.
I was thinking, yeah, there we go. I didn't want to mention his name, but
Danny Jackman. Well, do you know what? It's because the other day I'm sure I was talking about something similar or this exact same thing. And I mentioned Tommy Yashin or Yakerson, yes, or however you say it. And that's clearly the wrong player.
Yeah, no, Danny Jackman, because that was when he left us. He said he was injured, didn't he? And then he signed for Gillingham the next day. Because my wife had a big crush on Danny Jackman. This was when, you know, she was coming along to games at the start of our relationship kind of thing and being like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, see what this is all about, just to show a bit of support. And that came to two games. I started fancying Danny Jackman. He walks in the, in his last, well, what would have been his last game, he said he was injured, comes in the club shop, like tells us all he's injured, you know, if everything's fine, he's not going anywhere. And the next day he's buggered off.
Down to Kent.
Yeah.
What a wanker. There you go.
What a Kent.
Yeah.
And then didn't we start singing You're Supposed to Be a Gnome at him as well at some point?
I think so, yes. I think that possibly is the chant that went off at him, yeah. But it's strange, though. It's those two players for us. I don't know whether there's anything for you, Matt, that you kind of always think of that comes to mind.
You've got three in your current squad that have played for Jules.
Oh, okay. And Danny, you're the snap man.
This is going to stretch my knowledge, isn't it?
And you had two more at the start of the season that left in the January transfer window.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, hello. Right then.
One of them has only played probably twice for us, to be fair, which is Steve Arnold.
Okay.
I was going to go with Arnold, yeah.
Of course you were. Yeah, of course you were.
Sheehan must have been everywhere. Sheehan played for you?
No.
Alan Sheehan, no. Who else? Marshall? Has Marshall played for
Mark you? Marshall, yeah. You saw him from us last January, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the easy one, right? Kean Bolger?
Nope.
No. Bryn Morris?
Nope.
Oh, going to go through Scott here, aren't I? Yeah. Here you go. Ryan Watson? No, it's definitely not him.
He came on in the game at your place in the win in December over us.
Oh, hello.
Oh, actually, two of them came on. One that's already left, one that's now left you, came on for the last couple of minutes, and won.
Ricky Holmes.
Yeah, we signed Ricky Holmes to a lot of fanfare in January 2019, and he played precisely 0 minutes for us.
Yeah.
Because he signed, and then it became quite clear that he'd not recovered from a back injury, and he never actually pulled a shirt on. The other one was Michael Harriman, who came on in that game as well.
Do you know, for some reason, I only think Michael Harriman has ever played for us and Wickham. And I don't know why.
And the fifth and final one was Joe Martin.
Oh, that.
Yeah, he's not with us anymore, thankfully.
Oh, dear. Oh, love hate relationship with Joe Martin.
Have we? Love to hate him.
Mainly hate.
We love to hate him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly that. Oh, so this Saturday then, what are we thinking? I mean, I say what are we thinking. I mean, you've had a really good win. Mm-hmm. This week, following on from a not so good performance, or at least result, let's say. I didn't watch your game at the weekend, but I know you weren't particularly happy.
I was very happy with the first 72 minutes. We were absolutely superb. We were dog shit for 18 and it cost us, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I was watching, I started watching the Third Tier, which is another YouTube/podcast that you're involved with, mm-hmm. which is all about League One football. And I think you said you'd happily talk about it up until 4:30.
Yes, that was my analysis. Yeah, after that, I was just pretending it didn't exist. So, we're seventh and a point off the playoffs. That's how it goes.
So you picked yourselves back up.
Mm-hmm.
gone and beaten the Scum on Tuesday night, which is beautiful. Thank you very much. I will keep saying thank you for that because I enjoy it when it happens. anything to stop them winning the league. And you, therefore, you come into this game against us with a fairly average bit of form in terms of your last five games. So I never go any further back than that because it hurts my head. But last five games for you, it's two wins, two losses and a draw.
Yep.
You pretty much can't get any more bang average than that. So I don't know how this goes. I mean, do you then go on a little run of wins? Is that what tends to happen for you? Or is it quite up and down, win, lose, draw kind of situation?
There's never really any patterns with Jules. It's what turns up. Like I say, for 72 minutes Saturday, it was brilliant. And then we switched off for 20 minutes and it cost us the game. So... But that's League One, isn't it? That's the beauty of it with probably most teams. And this is an argument I have with people that's why these players are in League One, because they have these moments. And if they didn't have these moments, they wouldn't be playing for Northampton or Gillingham. They'd probably be in the Championship or the Premier League. But in terms of Jules digging a bit deeper than what you've done, our home form is absolutely spot on at the moment. We've taken 14 points from the last six games. We're unbeaten in six. There's a couple of clean sheets in there as well, I think. So. I think we'll win the game. I don't know if I've gone two questions ahead there.
Don't give us a score. It's
I won't
fine
do that.
That
yeah, I won't
we'll
ruin
win,
that.
But
yet.
Yeah,
but yeah. In terms of the overall form, like you say, it's I do last six, and it's another draw. So yeah, it's completely middle of the road. It's two wins, it's two draws, and it's two defeats. So take your pick. I don't want to talk about your away form too much because I quite like you both, to be fair. You seem like stand-up guys. but it's horrific is probably a decent description. If I'm correct, you've not won away since November.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Danny will know more. He's the stat man.
So, yeah.
He says.
So,
I forgot even where that was.
So
as well.
We've got decent home form. You've got shit away form, chances you'll probably rock up and beat us now, won't you?
That's what we like to do, yeah.
If we've got everyone fit, we're a match for anyone if we turn up and play properly. And you've seen that from the games that, you know, last night against Peterborough, going to Lincoln, going to Charlton, beating Blackpool start of the season, beating Oxford at home start of the season. But if the Gillingham turns up at your place at the end of December, then you'll roll us over because we were absolutely shocking that night. And that's not to take anything away from you lot, but we just didn't show up and we made it as easy as possible for you and you took advantage and beat us comfortably.
Yeah, I'm literally just now going back and trying to find our last away win. I have found it, although I've not found the league win yet, which is really, really bad. So our last actual away win in any competition was in the... in the Pizza Cup, second round away at Exeter. That was a fabulous night of playoff. I can't think of the word that I wanted to use. It was a repeat of the playoff final, but not with as many goals or as many smiles or as many people probably caring about it.
I was going to say, there probably wasn't many people that were that fast, were there? Got it here. It was November the 21st at Burton.
Yeah, 3-1 away at Burton. Oh, yeah. That's just...
It's Chris Lyons.
I mean, I was only 35 then. I mean, I won't tell you how old I am now, but, you know, it's been a while last won away.
This whole season's just a complete haze because we haven't been there. It's like, I've forgotten everything about it pretty much. Because like usually
I've definitely
you'd remember,
forgotten
like,
Friday night a couple from
yeah,
last week.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to mention that. But like, if we were going week in, week out, we'd be remembering these.
I think it's like that as well, because you're having you've watched it on your own as well. Whereas if you go to the stadium, like your mates remember stuff as well. And they go, oh, do you remember that goal or that awful referee? I remember all the awful referee decisions because they're quite frequent. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's because you're almost having to remember everything yourself. Whereas if you go with a group, you bounce off each other when you're talking about it and it sort of jogs the memory. But
And it's also that thing that other things happen around the game, don't they? So, like, at the moment, literally, I don't know how you get iFollow, but I stick it on my laptop through the Cobblers official website and hook it up via HDMI to my TV. So I sit there in my living room with a beer normally, but I'm basically just watching a game like I would be watching, I don't know, you know, Sunday Premier League game or whatever. There's nothing there to remind me. Whereas go to an actual game, you'll be thinking to yourself, oh, do you remember that Haribo that Danny gave me? That was lovely, that. Oh, yeah, and then we scored.
He's brilliant. That one.
Yes.
It is that, isn't it? And it's like the whole match day routine, whereas normally you sort of leave the house at, oh, no, for me it's like 1 o'clock, and then you go and get yourself a drink and a programme and burger, whereas at the moment it's 20 to 3, I'll log on.
Yeah, that's
it's not quite
absolutely
the same, is it? Yeah.
Right, let's go to predictions. Let's wrap it up. Do you know what? I'm so scared of making a prediction for this game because pretty much of exactly what you've sort of said, Matt, with your form. It's pretty much, in terms of the amount of wins and losses and draws, we're identical. It's just a slightly different pattern. So two wins, two losses and a draw for us in the last five. Both of us have won our last game. I mean, I will say, I'm looking at Google at the moment. I've got the League One table up in front of me on Google. And the worst and the most ridiculous part of this is that you go two positions up, the next two clubs up, Wigan and AFC Wimbledon, both of which in the last five games have lost one and won four. What the fuck?
I said this the other night. I said Wimbledon could probably lose their first 40 games of the season and they'd still stay up. It's just this time of the year they come alive. It's ridiculous.
It's fan power. That's all it is. It's fan power.
That's what it is.
So I think personally, because I'm being Mr. Positive now, sure, especially after that win against Ipswich, I'm going to go for a win for the Cobblers. It's going to be our first win away. I don't know if you know this, Danny, but we've not won away from home since November.
November, yeah. Burton, wasn't it?
Who said that? Who told you?
Yeah, Burton. 3-1, yeah. Burton, 3-1, yeah. I've just got this feeling that you know, it's about time that changed. That can't be the last time that we win away this season. So
no, it'd be Sunderland when there's nothing on it. We're already down.
Absolutely batter them.
Don't do that. Don't say it.
We can go down on Saturday as well. I didn't realise this. We can actually go down, can't we?
Shh. Yeah. Positive pod.
Sorry.
I'm going to go with a 2-1 victory. Alex Jones is going to get off the... Well, I was going to say get off the mark. That's not true. He's already scored once. He's going to get us off the mark. And it's going to be followed up with a 90-second Caleb Chukwuemeka winner. Ooh. There you go.
You stay on that Dane
will score for Jules. Danny?
Let's have a look. So Jules can see quite a lot of goals from what I can see in terms of like people around, teams around you in the top half as well. I'm going to go 2-2. I can't see us winning. I think it's going to be one of them that we just... It's a ding-dong. And other results, Wimbledon have got Ipswich, haven't they? So they'll probably win that. And Wigan, I think, who have they got on Saturday? This is great for a podcast, this, isn't it? Burton at home.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Burton at home they've got, so that's...
Burton, that's the last team that we managed to win away.
Yeah, it is, yeah. We'll be saying that for the next 20 months, probably. So yeah, I'm going 2-2, I think. I think we're just going to... battle it, and it seems like it's going to be a bit of a both teams playing a similar kind of style and cancel each other out. Verdane's obviously going to score twice.
Will he start?
Yeah, oh, of course he'll start. Yeah.
He couldn't have played against bloody Peterborough, could he, and just done them in instead and just rested against us?
Well, they didn't need him, Danny. That's the problem. That's what hurts the most. Well,
we did last week. another brace from PT, please, Charles.
Okay, love it, love that.
Top scorer at the end of the season.
Top scorer. But Watto will get another one, surely. Watto, how many goals has Watto got now?
It's up to about 9? I thought it was like 7 or 8.
It's got 8 in the league.
Yeah, there you go. Do you want to be our new presenter? Because you know more than we do.
Because I've got the notes, because I've got to do more video straight off.
Oh, dear. Matt, final word is to you. Your prediction for Saturday, please.
I am going to go for... a 2-0 Gillingham win, because we've kept clean sheets in the last two home games. you've only scored 38 goals all season and your away form is shit. But I've not backed for Dane Oliver to score. If that helps a little bit.
I mean, I was going to say I'll take that, but I won't take that because we'll get relegated. So I'm not having it.
I'm not sure if start. I think John O'Kindy was very good on Tuesday against Peterborough. So I think might go with the same 11.
Forgot John O'Kindy was there. He'll score as well.
So it's 3-2 to
3-2 now, yeah. I've forgotten all about him. He always scores against us as well.
Brilliant. Love it. Well, look, gents, thank you very much. Matt, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been brilliant having you here. It's really has. It's been a good laugh. It's been good fun. All the best for the rest of the season.
And to you guys as well.
Hopefully, we'll get to speak to you again next season. It doesn't look likely, but you never know. Stranger things have happened, like the Cobblers winning away from home. enjoy the match, anybody that's watching it. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget that you can go back, find us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever. Press that follow button or the subscribe button, leave a review. And if you're feeling really kind and generous, why don't you have a head over to patreon.com/cobblers2me and you can join the masses in our Slack channel group, which is alive on a match day. And also, whenever European bigwigs think it's a good idea to basically bankroll a new league. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Whey! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.